welcome to the Brand Market Flourish podcast. I'm your host, Louise Rowland. I'm a brand and marketing strategist and designer and the owner of Fleur Online. Here on the Brand Market Flourish podcast, I'll bring you actionable tips and advice on all things branding, marketing and business so you can build your own flourishing online brand. Using my 15 plus years experience in marketing, coupled with my passion for building brands online, my mission is to help and support as many female online business owners as possible in building a brand that stands out and looks out. I know you're destined for greatness, and I want to be the one to help you achieve it. Imagine how it would feel waking up every day with a clear vision for your business. Amazing, right? So sit back, grab a cup of tea, or a gin if you prefer, and get ready to take notes. Let's dive in. Are you an online service provider who is looking for ways in which to grow your income without needing to find more hours for one-to-one client work? Check out Expand Your Brand, my new 12-month high-touch group coaching program launching in September, where I'll be teaching you how to package up your expertise into digital products so that you can expand your impact and income. Head to fleuronline.com/waitlist to join and receive exclusive waitlist only bonuses. Welcome back to another episode of the Brand Market Flourish podcast. This is episode 17, and today I'm going to be sharing with you seven different ways that you can market your business away from social media. Something that I have always been so passionate about within my own business and within my business ethos and messaging is not having to rely on social media as a marketing platform. There are so many different ways to market your business, and more often than not, when we begin our businesses, social media, particularly Instagram, is the go-to platform for marketing. Now, I never want it to seem like I'm bashing Instagram as a platform, as I personally do enjoy using it in my business, but I also think that a large part of the reason why I enjoy it is because it's not my sole marketing platform, and I don't rely on it. If Instagram disappeared tomorrow, which it's not going to, but if it did, my business wouldn't necessarily suffer because of it. Obviously, Instagram isn't the only social media platform available, and you also have the likes of Facebook and now TikTok and things like Twitter as well, but I still think it's the main platform for a lot of business owners. Instagram used to be and still is to some extent a really great first marketing platform for new business owners for a couple of reasons. The first being that it is free. The second is that you can identify and connect with your ideal clients and customers quickly. With some marketing strategies, including some of the ones I'm going to be talking about in today's episode, you are essentially doing the work and waiting for your ideal audience to discover you, which can take time. Whereas with Instagram, it's much easier to actively seek out and engage with your ideal clients directly. However, Instagram isn't the only quick way to quickly seek out your ideal audience, which leads me nicely into the first of seven different marketing opportunities that I'm going to be talking about today. The first one being guest speaking and collaborations. One of the fastest ways to build your own audience is to borrow someone else's. By offering your skills and expertise to another business owner who shares a similar audience to you, you are able to bring their audience over into your audience. For example, perhaps you're a copywriter who works with online service-based business owners. You could then partner with other businesses in different industries, such as designers, social media managers, business coaches, who already have an audience built up of the people that you are looking to target. By guest speaking, you are able to offer your expertise to their audience, which will be beneficial to them, and in turn, build and grow your own audience too. There are different ways that you can collaborate with other business owners in this manner, from podcasting to featuring as a guest speaker in their course, program, or private community. Something else that is worth considering when you have built up your own audience is joint opportunities, such as joint venture webinars. This basically means that you can either come together to collaborate on a single webinar where you both bring your expertise to the table and teach in a single webinar or masterclass on complementary topics, or you can both have different webinars and you use each other's audience to present these webinars and masterclasses. So for example, you would do a masterclass to their audience and they would then come and do a masterclass to your audience. And obviously you're using each other's audiences. Both audiences are going to benefit from the expertise because you share a similar audience. And obviously you can then grow your respective audiences. Another way to collaborate is to be part of a summit or a bundle. I have been part of two summits this year, and they have been a great way to quickly grow my audience and get in front of people that haven't discovered me yet. I'm also in talks with some business owners about participating in a bundle where I offer a product that complements other products within that bundle as well. And usually these bundles contain between 10 to 20 other products from different business owners, and we then will all share the bundles with our audiences, which can in turn hugely grow our own audiences filled with ideal clients and customers, because essentially we are then reaching, depending on the number of other businesses within the bundle, 10 to 20 different audiences. And obviously these audience sizes are going to greatly vary, and they are going to come and download our product if they have purchased the bundle. Guest speaking on podcasts and within other people's courses and communities can work even if you don't have your own audience yet, which is why it's a really great one to start with, and a great alternative to Instagram if you're not a fan of Instagram as a platform and you're more confident with speaking and sharing your expertise in this way. Then guest speaking on podcasts and, like I say, within other people's courses, communities, programs, things like that, they can be a really, really great way to quickly grow your audience. Whereas the more collaborative opportunities, such as joint venture webinars and bundles and summits, they work best when you have an audience of your own to share with as well. The next way to market your business is one that I think is an essential one for all online business owners to have, and that is email marketing. It's not often where you'll hear me say that someone should do something in their business, but email marketing is one of those things. Email marketing is one of the few things that you essentially own when it comes to marketing. What I mean by that is that your ideal clients and customers are giving you their email address in exchange for something. You can then use this email address to connect with them by sharing valuable information that is going to benefit their business and help them build trust with you. Obviously, if they then choose to unsubscribe or opt out of certain communications, then you will no longer be able to email them. But as long as you back up your list regularly, should anything happen to the software that you're using for email marketing, you will then be able to upload this list back into it or into a different software, and you will still have access to all of these email addresses. Whereas with marketing platforms such as social media, YouTube, and Pinterest, these are owned by someone other than you, and should anything happen, you won't have access to the audience that you have worked so hard to build. This reason alone is why it's so important to begin building an email list as early on in your business as possible. What you can then do is use platforms like Instagram or guest speaking to share a relevant freebie, which in turn builds your list. This means that you have somewhere to direct people to, where you can continue to connect with and nurture them. Depending on where you are at in your email marketing journey, there are different stages that you can build upon as you not only get more confident with email marketing, but as you're also able to afford to outsource certain tasks within your business. The most basic setup that I recommend is to have a lead magnet which your subscribers will receive in exchange for their email address. Email addresses are valuable commodities, as we know, and if you're anything like me, you're not going to give your email address away to just anyone. There should be something offered in exchange, something valuable, something that they need and they want to actively give their email address in exchange for receiving something that's going to help them within their business. There are many different types of lead magnets available, from PDF guides, checklists, templates, short email courses. I've also seen people offer daily bite-sized business tips, which means you don't actually have to create something upfront. With this simple lead magnet funnel, it's also recommended that you have a series of emails that they receive for 5 to 7 days after signing up. And you will often hear this referred to as a welcome sequence, a nurture sequence. And this not only gets them used to opening emails from you, but it also gives you a chance to create a greater connection with them in the early stages of them joining your list. The next step up from a basic lead magnet funnel is to add a low-cost offer into your lead magnet funnel, where you can then start to not only make money from your email list, but also move your subscribers into paying customers and buyers. This is also known as a tripwire funnel. I have an entire podcast episode on this setup. So after you listen to this episode, head on over to episode 13 if you'd like to find out more about setting up your own low-cost offer funnel. Once you're more experienced with email marketing and or are able to hire an expert to help you, you can then move into more complicated email funnels, which work behind the scenes to sell products and services without you needing to constantly be available. The third way to market your business outside of social media is via evergreen content or long form content. So what this basically means is podcasting, blogging, video content on YouTube. And this is something that has been around since, if not the very beginning, then definitely near the beginning of my marketing career over 15 years ago. And back then, blogging was pretty much the only form of evergreen content that you could produce. Whereas now you also have audio content in the form of podcasting and you have video content as well. I have been blogging since the very beginning of my business. And then last year, I moved into podcasting as another way to share my blog posts, but in audio form, because I personally love listening to podcasts. I think it's a great way to connect with people. And I just love being able to listen to content on the go as well. So I really wanted to move my blog posts into a podcast format as well. One of the biggest benefits of evergreen content is that it is just that, it's evergreen. Content that you write now can still be found in the weeks, months, and years following, unlike social media platforms, where unless someone actively visits your profile and seeks out the content on your profile while scrolling back for however long, it's not likely that the content that you're creating now is going to be discovered for much longer than 24 hours, a couple of days at most. One of the blog posts that drives a lot of traffic to my website from both Google and Pinterest is a post I wrote about 3 or 4 years ago now. And whilst I have since updated it to make it more relevant, it didn't take me very long to update and it's still being discovered each and every day. And that same blog post is also growing my email list and bringing sales into the business via the low ticket offer that sits behind it. So I would say that the 1 to 2 hours that I spent writing that blog post 3 or 4 years ago was definitely time well spent. Even if you choose podcasting or video content for your longer form evergreen content, I would always recommend creating a blog post for it and ensuring that blog post is properly optimized for search engines. Something that I do with this podcast is I have the audio content transcribed and I turn that into a blog post. I then ensure this blog post is search engine optimized so that it can be discovered in Google, and then I share links to the blog post to Pinterest so that people using Pinterest can discover my content over there too, and they then visit my website from Pinterest and then go into the email funnel should they then decide to sign up for my email list, and so on and so on. Something else that I do with my podcast content is I turn the content into posts for social media. And I also make sure that I let my email list know that I have a new podcast episode available. This basically means I'm using one piece of content and using it across multiple platforms. Because when you're spending 1 to 2 hours writing a blog post or recording a podcast episode or filming a video for YouTube, you want to make sure that this content is working for you as much as possible. The fourth way to market your business away from social media is Pinterest. I absolutely love Pinterest. And whilst it's not a platform that I own, and yes, it can be taken away from me at any time, Pinterest has been responsible for a lot of my website traffic to my website and my blog posts, and therefore the growth of my email list as well. One of the reasons why I really enjoy Pinterest is, again, the graphics and the content that I create for Pinterest can be discovered in the weeks and months and years to come, similar to evergreen content like blogging and podcasting and things like that. And this basically means that I'm creating one piece of content for Pinterest and it can then be discovered time and time again. So I'm not having to constantly, whilst you are constantly creating new content and you still need to be consistently posting to Pinterest, you're not having to constantly find and create new pieces of content in terms of writing captions, recording videos, recording reels. And it's just another way to drive traffic to my website. Pinterest works really well for informational based content, such as, like I say, blog posts, podcast episodes, YouTube videos, things like that. I also use it to drive traffic to my landing pages for my freebie. I also use Pinterest for my Show It Template shop as well. So anything that I create for my Show It Template shop, I create graphics for those templates that I then share to Pinterest. And then when people are searching on Pinterest for things like website templates, Show It Templates, things like that, they will obviously then hopefully come across my content that drives them to my website. And then obviously they can then decide whether they want to purchase. Something that has been proved time and time again with Pinterest is that people who are searching on Pinterest are actively looking to buy. They are actively looking to do a certain action, whether that's to buy a website template, to buy a product, to hire someone for a service. They are, I think it's something like 66% of people who are searching Pinterest are actively ready to buy there and then. Now, Pinterest has changed a lot since I started using it. And again, it's a platform that I've been using since pretty much the beginning of my business. And back when I started using Pinterest, there was what we call the 80-20 rule, where you share 80% of other people's content and 20% of your own. And you therefore had to be sharing 10 to 20 pieces of content per day and consistently actually sharing that content for you to be successful on Pinterest. Whereas now it is very much focused, very similarly to other platforms, it's very much focused on fresh content, on your own content. So you don't actually have to share other people's content. Yes, you can do, but you don't have to. Whereas beforehand, it was very much, it was definitely worth sharing other people's content as well as your own. Whereas now it's very much sharing your own content. And you also don't need to be posting to Pinterest and sharing content to Pinterest 10 to 20 times a day. If even just posting one piece of content to Pinterest every single day is going to be really, really beneficial to driving traffic to your website. And one thing that I will say is that it's not a quick marketing platform. So what I was saying at the beginning about Instagram and borrowing other people's audiences for guest speaking and things like that, they are very, very quick and you can actively grow your audience quite quickly. Whereas with Pinterest, you're creating content, you're putting content out there and you're waiting for the Pinterest search engines and the algorithm to work for you and for people to then discover your content. And that could take 3 to 6 months before you really start to see those results and that traffic coming from Pinterest directly to your website. The fifth way to market your business outside of Instagram and social media is similar to Pinterest, is search engine optimization. So this is another traffic driving source for your website. And another one that I would say is essential for business owners who have their own website and who have their own content in their business is to make sure that all content is properly optimized for search engines so that content can be discovered in weeks, months, and years to come. So making sure that you're doing the correct keyword research and making sure that obviously the content within your website copy, and your blog posts, for example, are optimized for search engines within using those keywords within those posts and within those that website copy. But also making sure that things like page titles and the structure of your site, image alt tags, obviously it's quite technical. SEO can be quite technical. And if you're not used to using SEO in your business, then I would definitely recommend hiring an SEO expert or doing some research on SEO, even if you can just get the basic fundamentals of SEO in terms of things like page titles and image alt tags and headings and things like that. And then things like keyword research can come later down the line when you can actually afford to hire someone to do that SEO audit and do that discovery for you. The sixth way to market your business is via networking. So networking can mean a wide range of things, and it is one of the most important things that you can do within your business. So building relationships, referrals, affiliate marketing, all of these things can make up a really, really huge part of your business. And I know that when a lot of people come to work with me, their main marketing platforms and their main sources of leads and clients to their business at the point of coming to work with me is usually Instagram and referrals. So referrals from past clients, referrals from peers within their industry. They are really, really important. And I think the fact that it is such a, like, word of mouth is the best form of marketing that you can do. And whilst I think having a marketing strategy and things like evergreen content and email marketing is really, really important, word of mouth is the single most important thing that you can do within your business. However, you shouldn't, again, use it as a sole marketing platform, because it can dry up, obviously, unless you're continuing to nurture and to keep those relationships warm. I don't want to say it's not reliable, because it is, obviously, like I say, relationship building is so, so powerful, but it really does work with other forms of marketing within your business, because even those people that are being referred to you are still going to want to seek out and search for your content to actually start to build that trust factor with you as well. So referral marketing can be a really, really, really great way to market your business. However, it works really, really well in conjunction with other marketing that you're doing, such as email marketing, podcasting, social media, and things like that. Something else that I really, really love is affiliate marketing. So I use affiliates with my shop. So for my template shop, I invite all of my customers for my templates to become affiliates of those templates. And what this essentially means is that when they share their affiliate links, they get a special dedicated link that they can share with their audience. And when someone uses that link to purchase a product from my shop, they then get a percentage of that sale. And again, affiliate marketing is such a powerful thing. And even though I'm giving away a percentage of that sale, I am more than happy to do that, because they are essentially doing the work for me. And I want to give back and say thank you to them for sharing about me, for talking about me, from shouting from the rooftops and just kind of keeping people coming to my template shop, because that obviously means that if they're an affiliate and they're sharing about what I'm doing and they're sharing about the products with my shop, they are obviously happy with that product. So I am more than happy to compensate them in that way. The last way to market your business, the seventh way outside of social media, is something that could be classed as social media, but that is paid advertising. And obviously, paid advertising comes in many forms, such as Facebook advertising, which obviously is social media, but it isn't. So you've got things like Pinterest advertising, you can do Google Ads, and you can do Facebook advertising as well. Now, paid advertising isn't something that I've done a lot of in my business. I have dabbled in it here and there. So I'm not going to talk for too long on this particular topic. However, I do have clients who have utilized paid advertising and have worked with experts within the paid advertising field. So I would never necessarily advise my clients on paid advertising, because my expertise is, at the time of recording, within organic marketing. However, it can be a really, really good complementary marketing activity to quickly grow your audience if you have that budget available. So for example, you might look to spend, let's say, £10 or $10 a day, so £300, $300 a month on paid advertising, and your email list would look to grow accordingly depending on what the click-through rate is and the cost per click and everything like that. And obviously, again, we're getting quite technical here, but with paid advertising, the beauty about that is that you can be really specific as to who you want to target. So you can really narrow down your target audience rather than kind of trying to speak to everybody. You can really use certain filters when you're setting up these paid ads to actually seek out and find your target audience that, again, may not have come across you, or it might take them a lot longer to come across your business if you hadn't gotten in front of them using paid advertising. So there you have it, 7 different ways that you can market your business outside of social media. And I really hope you found this episode useful. And I want to reiterate, like I did at the beginning, I have absolutely nothing against social media. I just think it's really, really important to open up and allow people to see the different marketing activities and platforms that are available to them. And you haven't got to do absolutely everything that I've mentioned within this podcast episode. It's about picking and choosing the ones that work for you and your audience. If you have loved this episode, I would love for you to share it with your friends, family, your industry peers, share it on Instagram stories, and be sure to tag me at FleurOnline. And also pop me a DM, because I absolutely love connecting with people in my audience. So if you have really enjoyed this episode, or you have any questions about this episode, just pop me a DM at FleurOnline on Instagram. And yeah, I'd love to talk to you. I will speak to you again next week. Thank you so much for listening to the Brand Market Flourish podcast. I'm so happy that you joined me. If you've enjoyed this episode, then I would love for you to subscribe on your favorite podcast app. I would also appreciate it so much if you would share it with a friend, shout about it on social media, or leave a review over on Apple Podcasts. I love hearing from listeners to the podcast, so do say hi over on Instagram at FleurOnline. Thanks again. I'm back next week with a brand new episode.